You know, from the earliest times that I can remember, I have always been infatuated by manger scenes. I can remember my parents always had a manger scene at the house, even when I was a little boy, and I could just sit and stare at that manger scene forever, it seemed like. But there was one manger scene that kind of mesmerized me more than any other manger scene. And most of you know I grew up over in Pulaski County, and it was the manger scene that was over the Roaring Ruby-Doo up on the bluffs in Waynesville. How many of you ever seen that? I can't tell if you got your hand up or not, but if you've ever seen that manger scene, raise your hand. I know many of you probably have, and as far as I know, it's still up to this day. And I can remember as a kid, I would be crossing over that bridge with my parents driving, looking up at that, and wondering if that's what it was like on the night that Jesus was born. And it even had a star above it. But I have always been fascinated by the Christmas story. And so tonight, I want to read you out of Luke chapter 2. This is the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And again, we need to focus on Jesus Christ and who He is so that we can truly celebrate this season. This is what God's Word says through Luke's Gospel. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. Tonight, for the next few minutes, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the Christmas story. And just like how I was mesmerized by those manger scenes as a child, let's be mesmerized by the wonder of the Christmas story. Let's think about what the Christmas story means to us today, over 2,000 years later. Let me just briefly point out three lessons from the manger or from the Christmas story that we need to hang on to tonight. First, the Christmas story needs to remind us that God is always in control. God is always in control. You see, there were a lot of things about Mary and Joseph's situation that seemed out of control. It seemed horribly out of control and horribly wrong. First of all, there was an unpopular census by a cruel ruler. And then there was an unplanned delivery and birth that really followed an unplanned pregnancy. There were all kinds of things in their lives that seemed out of control. Yet all the while, God was behind it. He was sovereignly directing what was taking place. God was and is in control. God is always in control, even in the hard times of life. I don't know about you, but sometimes life can be a hard road. Think for a moment as you look at the manger scene below me at the hard road that Joseph and Mary had to travel. The census wasn't easy. The journey wasn't easy. There was the pregnancy. And then there was just the days in which they lived. They were dangerous days. There were days when there were many hard times and hardened people all around them. I'm fully aware tonight that many people in this body, in this congregation, are walking a hard road. And I'm sure that some of you have even wondered why. Why, God, am I having to walk this road? You know, you're in God's will, but it's hard. You're doing exactly what God has called you to do, but it's difficult. I want you to remember tonight, as you look at the manger, that everything about Jesus' birth was difficult. Everything was a struggle. And that didn't mean they were out of God's will. It just meant that it was difficult and hard. But never forget, God was in control. He was orchestrating everything. And so what I want you to remember first of all tonight is that God is in control and His timing is always perfect. His timing is perfect. One of my favorite verses, and brother, I'm glad you didn't mention this one because I wanted to read it, and it's out of Galatians chapter 4, and if you would have read it, that would have been just fine. But I love what it says in Galatians chapter 4 in verses 4 and 5. Paul says, in the fullness of time, In God's perfect timing, everything was right when God decided to bring His Son into the world. It wasn't on a whim, and it wasn't at the improper time. It was in the fullness of time. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So that just reminds me that our lives and our times really are in His hands. I don't know what's going to happen in North Korea. I don't know what's going to happen in our government. I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. But rather than being stressed out and anxious and worried all the time, I just need to trust in the sovereignty of the Lord. God has my life under control. And therefore, I can put Him in the driver's seat of my life, and I can trust Him to sovereignly guide me to where I need to be. Kind of reminds me of another manger scene story. I'm going to tell you a couple manger scene stories as I preach this message tonight. I heard a story about an 18-month-old boy who, kind of like I was as a kid, was mesmerized by his parents' manger scene. But this guy was a farm boy, and he was all boy, and he kept taking Jesus out of the manger scene, and he would take Jesus and put Him on his John Deere tractor, and he would drive Him around on the John Deere tractor. Now, I thought that was kind of cute, and probably his parents were horrified, but you know what? That's a good way to live life, recognizing that Jesus is in control, and we need to put Him in the driver's seat of our lives. That's the first thing that the manger scene reminds me of. But the second thing the manger scene does is it confronts us. The manger scene, or the Christmas story, confronts us with the lostness of the world. The lostness of the world. When we look at manger scenes today, no offense, and I think they're great, and I love even this one that's right in front of us tonight, but the manger scene that we look at today is so comfortable, so peaceful, and so unrealistic. I think that the true picture is dark and cold. It's a place of extreme poverty. It's a place of isolation and rejection. It's a place that frankly smelled. I guarantee around all those animals that there was a stench of evil and a stench of manure and wickedness and hopelessness. That's the world that the Son of God was born into. And it just reminds us or confronts us with the lostness of the world. And so the manger scene needs to paint a picture to you of our need of a Savior, our need of Christ Jesus, how much we need Him to come into the world. And because of that, there's three things that the Christmas story ought to do in our lives. First of all, it ought to disturb us. It ought to disturb us. It ought to remind us of the depths to which God has to go to redeem us. And it ought to remind us that this is a fallen world. And it's not a world that's going to get better and better. It's always going to be a fallen world until Jesus Christ returns. People who live all around us are without Christ, and they're lost, and they need to be rescued, and Jesus is the only way. Second, the Christmas story should move us. It should move us. The manger is the first stop on God's mission trip to Calvary. Jesus came on a mission. He was born to die. And it's a picture of our life's mission after we are saved. Jesus said in Luke 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And Jesus lived His life as a missionary. And you know what? So should we after we follow Him. Now, you may not be called to another country or to someplace halfway around the world, but you're a missionary. You're His ambassador, even living in Lebanon, Missouri today. And so it ought to move us. Finally, the Christmas story should humble us. It should humble us. You see, we are part of the manger story. You and I are part of this story. There's no room for pride in God's kingdom. There's no need for us to feel like we've arrived. The only way we can ever approach God is in humility. Reminds me of another manger scene story I want to tell you. This was actually a church play, a Christmas play that was going on at a church, and the children were playing all the parts. And there was a little boy who really badly wanted to play the part of Joseph. And so when the lady that was running it all chose the people to play the parts, guess what? He didn't get the part. The worst of all is his rival. The person that was his bitter rival got the part, and he got the role of the innkeeper, if you can imagine that. And so all during the rehearsals, he would plot about how he could get even, how he was going to get this kid back. And so finally, he hatched a plan in his little mind, and he said, I'm going to let him have it on the night of the performance. And so a night kind of like this arrived, and the church was packed, and parents were there, and they had their cameras out and everything else, and they were just enthralled with this whole program and play. And so it all went just like it was supposed to. Mary and Joseph walk on the stage. They come up just like they're supposed to, and they knock on the door. The innkeeper answers the door, and they're like, "We'd like a room for the night." And he smiled and hatched his plan, and he says, "Come on in. I'll give you the best room I've got." Well, Joseph is caught off guard. He doesn't know what to do. This is his rival, keep in mind, but he's a pretty quick thinker. He thinks well on his feet, and so he scratched his head. He looks around, and he says, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." That story just reminds me that Jesus was born to go to the barn. He came to go to where there was a stench and a smell. He was a king, but he didn't belong in the palace. He belonged in the barn because the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And the Christmas story confronts us with the lostness of the world. But thirdly and finally, the Christmas story blesses us. It blesses us because it points us to the cross. It points us to the cross. You see, there are a lot of people, probably some people you're going to rub shoulders with, who really don't want Jesus to ever grow up. You see, they're kind of like this manger scene. They'd like to keep Jesus as a baby, cute and unthreatening, and they'd like to keep him in the manger. But the truth of the matter is Jesus did grow up. He did grow up, and he did accomplish the mission. He did hang on a cross, and that's what the manger was the first step towards. Jesus was born to die. And so Christmas, listen, is the beginning of a great rescue. It's a great rescue. Jesus came, and he was laid in a borrowed manger, and just like I read, they put wrapped in cloth when he was born, and then at the end of his life, he was laid in a borrowed tomb and wrapped in cloth when he died. But that's not the end of the story. You all know the rest. 3 days later, he came out of that tomb alive. Just like he was God in human flesh, he rose from the dead as God in human flesh. And it really is a blessing that Jesus didn't stay in the manger. I'm so glad that he grew up and he became a man. And I'm so glad that he accomplished his mission. And he died for our sins and he rose again, because he is the only source of salvation. There is no plan B. There is no backup plan. You see, Christmas is not just about a birth, but it's about being born again. Christmas is about being born again. The manger reminds us that Christmas is not just about his birth, but when I look at that manger, I ought to be thinking about my birth, and you ought to be thinking about yours. Because later on, Jesus told a grown man named Nicodemus in a private conversation that took place at night, kind of like this. He said, "You must be born again." And so that's what we do. Because this child was born in a manger and grew up to be the Savior of the world, we must be born again. We must trust in Him. We must recognize that we can't save ourselves. We can't be religious enough. We can't do enough good things. Jesus said, "I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to pay the price for you." And that's what he did. Jesus gave us the greatest Christmas gift of all. So finally, Christmas without a cross is really not Christmas at all. Jesus was born to die. I think there's a wise man down there in that manger scene that you're looking at right now. And one of the gifts, it just reminds me that one of the gifts that the wise men gave, according to God's word, was myrrh, which is a perfume that was used in the embalming process in that day and that time. And that reminds me that when Jesus was 33 years old, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he carried that cross up Golgotha Hill and hung on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And at noon, something very significant happened. The weight of all the sins of the world was put on our precious Savior Jesus. And for the next 3 hours, darkness fell over the land, just like it's dark in this room right now. And then, just before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus, with what remaining strength he had, he's dying on the cross, he mustered up all the energy he had, and he shouted the greatest words in history, "It is finished." And salvation was paid for. Our sin was atoned for. Jesus did something that you and I could never do for ourselves. He died for our sins as the perfect Lamb of God so that you and I could be right with God. We could have a right, good relationship with Him. And folks, as you look at the manger tonight, that's the Christmas story. That's why Jesus came that first Christmas and was born in a manger. And no matter who you are or what you've done, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. And He wants you to come to Him and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And He wants you to receive the eternal gift of life that He wants to give to everyone who will bow before Him and trust Him. And the manger blesses us because it points us, as you can see in that picture, to a cross. So listen, here's my advice tonight to you. And many of you, probably most of you have already done this, but you need to take baby Jesus out of the manger and put Him in your heart. Because this baby was born to save the world and born to die on the cross. And believe me, He knows what He's doing, and so you can put Him in the driver's seat of your life. And that's what you need to do. And I want to remind you that Jesus recognized, and John recognized, that He was the light who would penetrate the darkness. And I want you to listen, as we're going to light the candles in just a minute, but I want you to listen. Jesus said these words, one of the famous I Am statements in the book of John. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so when we light these candles in just a moment, that's symbolic of the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And when you receive and trust Him as Savior, you become light to the world, not because you are the light, but you're a reflector of the light. You reflect the true light because His life is inside of you. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and following. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Pray with me, please. Father, I thank You so much for the gospel story that is interwoven into the Christmas story. And I am in awe of the manger. And I do wonder what it was like on that starry night. I wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph. I wonder what it was like for those that gathered like the shepherds when they heard the news and they ran to find the Christ child. I wonder what it was like for those who came later like the wise men. And I wonder what it was like for Jesus Himself as He lived His life all those years ago. And He took on our sins, paying our price on Calvary's cross. And Lord, we thank You that You are the light who shines in the darkness and penetrates the darkness. And thank You for how You light our hearts and You bring the gospel to our life. And we are able to celebrate tonight with joy, not because of who we are, but because of who You are. And we thank You and praise You, praying all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.